The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
He did everything his whole life for God.
Next, Glenn Beck, one of America's leading multimedia personalities, challenges us to live like George Washington every day.
And I spent a lot of time on my knees saying, Lord, I'm not the guy to speak to the nation. I haven't paid any attention at all.
Being George Washington, next.
Welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson Biddy, and I'm thrilled to have Glenn Beck with us. And he has written a book titled Being George Washington. And I want to tell you, it's great. It's absolutely great, because George Washington was great. And what he sowed, the seeds that he has sown in this nation and around the world, have brought forth indescribable, meaningful fruit. And the book makes it clear, in the truest and purest sense of the word, we can be George Washington. No, not necessarily the father of a nation, but we can be an example and shoulder the load of responsibility necessary in the circle where we have influence. And he points out so clearly in the life of George Washington, and Glenn makes it clear in an incredible way, that he was flawed. Because every one of us know we have failed, we've missed the mark, but we can still do those things which are most important. Would you welcome Glenn Beck to Life Today?
George Washington is my hero, and I tell you, I get weepy, and that's not, I don't usually cry a lot. But I get weepy even thinking about him, because the guy spent his whole life doing everything that he didn't want to do. He didn't want to be president. He didn't want to be the general. He wanted to be in the Navy. He didn't want, his mother took him down during his election and said, and I'm not kidding you, my son doesn't even care about his mother. He spends all of his money on ice cream. Not kidding you. That's one reason why
really
I love him.
You felt like you were George Washington right there.
Yes, I did. I'm like, yes, man likes ice cream. Obviously, I do too. He did everything his whole life for God. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to return home with honor. And as a flawed son of God, I needed the atonement. And once you get the atonement, once you have the saving power of Christ, let me tell you something, you don't want to blow that. And all I want to do is return home with honor. And he said that was his greatest fear, that in the end he would do one thing that would internally dishonor him. And so he held the line. This is George Washington's compass. It's the only thing, the only compass he ever owned. This was in the Washington family until I bought it out of the Washington family, because it had to, by the will, it had to go into public hands this time around, this generation. And so I bought it. And it's the best symbol of George Washington. This is what he had at 16 years old when he surveyed Pittsburgh. He carried this with him his whole life, the only one he had when he died. Because everything was carved out. Everything was perfect. The Lord carves perfect law for us. All you have to do is live within that circle.
That is the hedge of protection.
Yes.
The law and word of God.
He knew. That's why when in the opening of the book, he goes into battle And he has, in this one battle, at the end of it, he has two holes right here in his jacket. Two separate shots here. He has a hole in his hat, and he had two horses shot from underneath him in one battle. But he knew that he lived his life in such a way that he needed to be there. He would continue to move forward. And if the Lord decided to take him, then the Lord decided to take him. That's okay. He's going to serve and serve exactly the way he was supposed to. He was amazingly humble and obedient.
Glenn, what I hear you saying, and even before you release this book, you were talking about the importance of each one of us being who we're supposed to be. You know, not only to be a blessing to those people closest to us in our family, but to be a blessing all over planet Earth. And you seem to approach the need for that with incredible, not only passion, but compassion, a broken heart, but a sense of urgency that if we don't shoulder the load, if we don't assume personal responsibility, if we don't in so many ways become like this man, and I mean really return to God. And I watched this transformation in your life, not only, you know, being delivered from alcoholism and other problems, but I watched your media transformation, where you suddenly realize that what must happen is really bigger than the political. It is really resting the will of God and the purpose of God on shoulders, yielded to God's will to really impact in a very profound and positive way everything in this nation and around the world. And if it didn't happen, we're in serious trouble. I watched this happen in your life, and it was quite remarkable.
I was syndicated on my radio show. I'm a guy who in 1999 got married to my second wife after I lost just everything through alcohol in early 1990s, just lost it all. Put my life back together. Find God, understand and accept the atonement. And I said to my wife, you know what, I'm going to give this talk radio thing a chance. She thought I was going to go back and be a cook, honestly, a short order cook. And it was a real possibility for me. A year later, I'm syndicated, and I just do a deal in August to take the slot on Premier Radio Networks of Dr. Laura. And I couldn't believe it. And then September 11th happens. And I spent a lot of time on my knees saying, Lord, I'm not the guy to speak to the nation. I haven't paid any attention at all. I'm phoning this one in. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just started to pay attention a year ago. What are you doing? And I promised the audience then, because somebody called me on September 11th and said, what's happening? And I said, two things. One, I have no idea. But I promise you I will find out. And the second thing is, I promise you this. No outside force will destroy us. We will only destroy ourselves as long as we hang together. I am so honored to be your friend. You two have been so gracious to me. I have seen the transformation in other faiths as well. And you two were the first to reach out to me. And 3 years ago, I called a meeting together in Washington, D.C., and the only one I knew would come were you guys. And Ralph Reed, who helped put the Christian Coalition together, helped put this meeting together. And you were there at the first Christian Coalition. And these things, if they become political, God's spirit withdraws. And he was walking into the room and he said, Glenn, he said, I don't know how long they'll stay, but they're all in one room. And there were about 30 of you, remember? Mm-hmm. And I said, all I need is 15 minutes. I just want to bear my testimony. And I did, and then I told these religious leaders, I held up a picture of Martin Luther King, and I said, look at the eyes of all the people standing around him. He was terrified, and so were all the other people around him. And I am terrified, because I don't know what I'm doing, I know that God is calling us together, not our theology, but He's calling us together. We're supposed to stand together. And I sat down, and the room kind of held its breath until James said, "Shame on all of us." He said, "We've all heard the same thing, and we didn't answer the call, so God gave it to an alcoholic Mormon." And the first time I talked to James was on a bus when I had announced 828, and I walked on stage, and the part of the story I haven't told before is I was struggling with what this was supposed to be. This was that big thing in Washington that we did. And I didn't know exactly how it was, and I thought it was supposed to be political. And I couldn't put it all together, but I knew, as soon as I decided what it was, I knew I had to announce it in front of people, and so I went down to Florida and I announced it in front of 25,000 people. And I was sure it was right. And I walked out on stage and I said, "So here's what I have to announce, here's what we're gonna do." And it was about 4 minutes into this speech. And I broke out into a cold sweat because I looked at the people and I heard, "You're wrong." I'm like, "You couldn't have told me that 5 minutes ago?" And he required me to look in the eyes of people and discover it's about so much more and not about politics at all. And I walked off stage and I said, I grabbed the guy who was my assistant and I grabbed him by the lapels because 25,000 people, they were all screaming and cheering and we couldn't hear each other. I grabbed him by the lapels and I come right up to his ear and I scream in his ear, "I don't know how, but we're wrong." And he just looked at me, all the blood drooled out of his face. Like, and I got into the bus that afternoon and you called me. And you told me that you two had been talking and watching, and you said, "Lord is going to do big things." And you said, you brought up the Christian Coalition. And I thought, oh boy, now we're going to go down the Christian Coalition road and it's going to be political. And you said, "And the problem with the Christian Coalition is when it became political, God withdrew." And I thought, "You are so right." And you said, "Keep on the path. God's going to do big things and He's going to bring us all together." And here we are 2.5 years later.
We neighbors. Have to come together or we really don't have a future.
None.
We have to become, and really, you know, we wrote in the book, indivisible. You can't separate the social and the moral from the economic and the fiscal. They're indivisible. Our founders understood with their diversity they had to come together
you
with all
wrote
their
that.
Differences.
You wrote together. That with a Catholic, mm-hmm. and you called a Mormon all the way through it to say, "You're going to love this book." I mean, that really is. I really think, we were talking about it backstage before we came on, that God is putting us together and He's not making anybody a superstar. He's the superstar. Mm-hmm. And He's giving me a little piece, and these two a little piece, and you a little piece, and you a little piece. And if we stop saying, "Well, I can't stand with you. Are you kidding me? Like, you have long brown hair. I can't stand with people who have long brown hair. And you're an evangelical, and you might be a Catholic, and I can't..." We're not going to get anything done. He is requiring us to leave it up to Him and just do our one part. We don't have to have 99% of the stuff I do. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know. Everybody around me says it's not going to work. It's going to be a huge disaster. It's blah, blah, blah. And when I said I'm going to move to Texas and we're going to rent out Dallas Cowboys Stadium this summer, everybody came to me and said, Glenn, that's insane. That's insane. You're going to go broke. It's not going to be filled. You're going to be humiliated. We're going to pull the whole company down. And I finally sat in these meetings. Talk to Him. I'm saying the same thing to Him. He won't listen to me. Maybe He'll listen to you.
From the time you and I started talking, It was about love, God's love. And that doesn't mean compromised truth. Can you get something straight? You ain't never looked at uncompromising any straighter than you're looking right here. I'm not going to waver. And I'm not going to compromise love. I am going to love everybody, even if you want to be mean to me and call me every name you can think of, and I'm sure if you're religious, you can think of a lot of them. But I am going to love you while you're throwing at me. When I met with Glenn in virtually every interaction somewhere, and I remember one of the most important things God impressed me to say to you is, you are gifted. I've never seen anyone in media any more gifted. But the thing that really captures people's hearts is the fact that you do love this country and you love the people in this country. And you want the best for him. Betty, you were one of the people who got me listening to him. Our son, Randy, told me, said, you ought to hear this guy. I don't want to hear this guy. And Betty starts watching
you
this guy while
around.
I'm traveling.
She's very smart.
she's very smart. Why did you want me to listen to Glenn Beck?
Well, you know, when I started watching him, it got me to searching for myself. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to be a little Glenn Beck. You know, I'm just going to... I never got that from your shows. I never in my life. I felt like I was being inspired to find out what I was supposed to be responsible for. As an individual, as a wife, a mother, a homemaker, a grandmother, that it wasn't time to just sit back and do nothing. And I began to read. I wasn't a big reader all my life, but I began to get encouraged to read and to understand and to think for myself. It wasn't that I was going to take your word, and you have said that all along, and that's one thing I appreciate about your show, and it made it different, was you said, go search it out yourself. Look it up for yourself. Think for yourself. And that's
me. Empowerment. One of the curses that I think I have had in my life, it's a great blessing, but it's also a great curse because I am I'm sad for a lot of people. God has given me this ability to see what people can be inside. And so few people actually live up to that because they don't believe it about themselves. And it is my joy and my curse to be able to see that and to be able to say, you're only living 5%. Mm-hmm. You've got so much. Don't accept less. You are a superstar in God's world.
Amen.
I think that was one thing that really grabbed my heart was that I would tape a lot of your shows, and then when James would come in, I'd say, you gotta watch this, you gotta see this. Many times he would come in, and I had been weeping because I felt like God would say, okay, this is about what I want you to do, but
it
I want
is.
You to listen to me. It
that's
starts
what,
right here.
That's what all
it
of this
with
is.
This heart here.
That's what all of this is. That's what I love about Indivisible, is you are teaching people the principles, things that I can connect with in such a great way. I mean, again, I've heard you speak on capitalism. You're a capitalist, and you're an evangelical. You wrote it with a Marxist Catholic. Two different languages.
He got delivered from Marxism.
What'd you say?
He got delivered from Marxism.
Yeah, I know.
Totally delivered.
But you know what? Where are you?
He's sitting up here.
I know. Dodge that bullet, huh? Good news. Satan hasn't let you off the hook yet. He's coming back for more. We're saying the same thing, but we speak different languages, and God speaks to us in our own language, and that's why it's important that you're saying it. I'm saying he's speaking through the multitudes.
To heal the nation.
Yes, he is.
To heal us. You appreciate Glenn. Glenn's going to be with us all week, and we're going to be talking to him.
Wait a minute, I thought it was just tonight.
Yeah. You're spending the night and the next day here. The doors are locked. Glenn, we're doing something that I think our viewers find touches their heart. We didn't know if our viewers would help with this. It's trying to get people out of the prison and the sex traffic. Mm-hmm. We thought maybe it'd be, you know, something our viewers would turn away from, but, you know, they said, we want to help those children, those people. I want you to watch this because we are right now emphasizing the importance of rescuing precious lives, and we're going to build a life center to make an incredible difference with your help. Watch this, please.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the homesick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the, they need for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
So imagine this, one girl taken from her family, whether she's kidnapped or tricked, if she is sexually abused over and over again, maybe 8 to 10 customers that she may have to service in one day.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things in front of my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will be have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
That little precious child you saw there at the end, that's a target. Anywhere the sex traffickers see a little child that looks helpless or vulnerable, they take them. They will go to the impoverished family members and tell them that they want to give that child a better place. They'll take young girls and say, we're going to get them in a school where they can learn a trade and bring money back to the family, and then they never see them again. Love will set them free. We're going to build a life center with the help of our viewers. And Betty, you know, you and I have been all over the world to see needs, and we got a big care in our heart. And Betty and I share freely, but we're limited in what we can share, no matter how much we care, unless those of you who care join us in sharing life and help and love. Here's what we're asking you to do. The missionary workers who are in the field all over the world, we're in Thailand, we're in Cambodia, we're all over India. We're right there in Mumbai, where a lot of children are taken who are left by the railroad track and taken into sex trafficking. We're working where the need is. The missionaries tell us that it takes $128 to rescue a child. Now, let me tell you how important this is to some of our viewers. Some of them have said, we will match your gift, which means if you could give a $128 gift, it'll be matched. So you've just rescued two. We want to build a life center in Nepal. We built a beautiful life center in Thailand. We built some more modest centers in Cambodia and other places. We're going to build a beautiful place in Nepal where these children are so poor and they're taken into captivity and then used as sex slaves in India. Would you help us build the Life Center? We're asking for people to make a $1,000 gift or more. It'll be doubled. $128 will rescue a child. But at any level you can come in, what a difference it's going to make. We're putting girls to work who have been in the trade and trapped. And they're making beautiful necklaces, and we will gladly send you one of the necklaces if you'll help rescue one of these girls or these children. Sending the book Indivisible, all of you who will make whatever gift God puts on your heart. And this is going to focus your prayers, and we're going to see how we can turn our nation back to God and restore our foundation so we can be blessed to bless others. Would you dial the number there on the screen? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should use them. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make your gift online. But I'm asking you to make the very largest gift you can. We have some gifts for you, the lion and the lamb bronze for those of you who will help us build the Life Center. Whatever you can do, you make the gift God puts on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you so much for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do want to remind you that the book, Indivisible, we're sending it to you, and I can promise you, it will direct you in what needs to be addressed, why it needs to be addressed, and how we can restore our foundation and be a city set on a hill, literally impacting our culture. If you make a gift today of $128 or more to help us, along with the necklace, we'll also send you not only Indivisible, but Being George Washington. It is a tremendous book, not only of history, but of inspiration. Join Betty and me saying thanks to our special guest today, Glenn Beck. Glenn, thank you.
To repair the standard.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow on Life Today.
Only God will put us back together.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.